Hello, hello. So this weekend I was with a dear friend when we accidentally and quite by chance stumbled into the off-limits, super-secret, do-not-enter-backstage paddock area of one of the nation's premier horse racing tracks. It was really quite spectacular for a lot of reasons. It was pregnant with anticipation as there's stuff going on in a couple of weeks, and so it was starting to come to life, but just a little. And it was full of beautiful carousel-style lettering and, you know, old Americana structures and all this. It was gorgeous. The one thing I wanted to note was there was a building called Ladies Dormitory, and I'm very curious what it takes to be able to live there. If you know, drop a line. Good evening. It's Monday, the 24th of July, 2006, and it's Miette's Bedtime Story Podcast. The Lottery Ticket by Ventura Garcia Calderon. You have heard this story before? No matter, I will tell it again, because it points to a moral, and better than that, to a state of mind. Also, it is not without present-day interest. The dancer, whom we will call Cielito, was the loveliest Spanish bailadora of about 15 years ago, though not in the fashion of Madrid, where the taste in women at that time was Turkish, for fat all over. She was the Medici Venus, not the Milo, which measures 3 feet 11 inches around the hips. You remember Cielito's version of the rumba, with a pink-tipped finger pointing to heaven, and how the public used to roar for one more look, and how she allowed it just for 1 second, smiling like an angel fallen in the worst Gomorrah. If you have not seen Cielito dance the rumba, you do not know tropical love. In her dancing, she played instinctively the cruel game of rousing lust and leaving it. Like the Persian butterfly, she was always playing with fire without ever getting burnt. Cielito learned to dance in the West Indies, where this story takes place. The Danse du Ventre is a bourgeois family spectacle beside the swinging of the breast. Breasts fit to be moulded into beautiful cups, or like coupled doves to be caressed. The impish wanton shawl follows the swinging game, and at last, for too brief an unforgettable instant, is thrown aside. One loses his head when one speaks of Cielito, which would hardly surprise her, for there is not a woman in the world who knows more about men than she does. Once, when she was touring in South America, she drove the men so mad that they had to have a lottery for her. Yes, a singular idea, but not really so strange in Cuba, where we leave everything to chance, even the pretty women. Well, in this distant town of the island of sugar cane and honey, the spectators were able one night to buy with their theatre tickets the chance of taking Cielito away with them after the performance. Only one spectator could win, of course, but in the crowds at the booking office, every man was Don Juan looking with hatred at his possible rival, the neighbour who was also buying the right to be the happiest of men. Even Cielito was a little moved when the evening came, and there was something almost chaste in her languorous glances at the audience, who riotously refused any other musical items. They only wanted Zielito with her shuffling false negro steps and very soft Creole words, asa columpiate. But there were no passionate encores. No one asked Zielito to carry her perversity any further. Everyone was in too great a hurry for the draw, which was very correctly carried out, like a family lottery, on the stage itself. A top hat was filled with numbered play slips, and the draw was presided over by the theatre manager, rather pale and nervous, for any suspicion of trickery would have been punished on the spot, and there's no knowing what may happen when a lot of violent men are after the same girl. Believe me, it was more than mere lust for a beautiful woman. You have no idea how much magic and romance is attached to any European actress, by South Americans dreaming of Montmartre and Andalusia. A French woman is all Paris to them. A Spaniard is Seville or Granada, with the chirrup of grasshoppers in the sunshine. These fantasies are a source of feverish mental stimulant to our people, and a beautiful body does not help to lessen the fever. At exactly midnight, the winning number, 213, was called by a man in evening dress, who had turned his back on the hut and unhesitatingly drawn a slip of paper. The whole room looked for the winner. Some mocking voices called for him to go up on the stage so that everyone could see him before he went into the wings with Zielito. No one answered, and there was an expectant silence. A spectator who had come very near success jogged the elbow of his neighbour in seat 213, almost forcing him to rise. He was a fine-looking negro, a bit of ebony, the conquistadores would have called him, black as sin, the old women say even now. He rose slowly, with the charming, comic solemnity of the coloured people, whose vain smile fitly answers the amused glances of the crowd. With deliberate slowness he looked through his note-case for the ticket, found it at last in a greasy envelope, and tore it up into very small pieces, which he threw in the air like confetti before the astounded audience. That ample gesture ought to have made his refusal clear enough. But the people could not believe he was rejecting Zielito, the finest flower of Spain. So he shook his head, looking grave and sulky, but enjoying very much the displeasure he was causing. All the bitterness of the subject races was in him. All the misery of his ancestors who had died as slaves among the sugar-cane. The hot joy of revenge burned on his obstinate coal-black face as he disdained what so many white men had dreamed about with longing. Then, with a shrug of his shoulders, very dignified and sure of his importance, he prepared to leave the theatre, while from the stage Zielito, with her hands on her hips in a truly Spanish fury, spat out at him with her shame and her disgust. But there was no need of a word from her. The whole audience rushed on the black man and began to beat him. So he did not want the flower of Spain. He was disgusted with the darling of Andalusia. They would show him. They would finish him. It was a most unlooked-for lynching, unknown, no doubt, in the United States, where they don't yet punish the abstemious negro who refuses to outrage a white woman. Half an hour afterwards, they sent the dying man to hospital, and, as they have given up drawing lots for Zielito, I will not bother you with the address of the theatre.